Amen. Please be seated. Well, you may have picked up throughout the service today that we are launching our brand new series that focuses on prayer, the gift of prayer. And we're going to be using the text of Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, as our guide across the next 8 weeks as we investigate this beautiful, beautiful gift. So what is prayer? What does it mean when someone says, "Let's pray"? And what is prayer's role in the life of the Christian? A Gallup poll was taken recently, and it said that more Americans will pray this week than will exercise, or will drive a car, or will have sex, or will go to work. But of those who were surveyed, 9 out of 10 say they pray regularly. 3 out of 4 claim that they pray every day. Yet get this, only 23 out of the 678 who were surveyed said they were satisfied with their prayer life. That's 3%. 3% of people surveyed said they were satisfied with their prayer, with their life of prayer. I think some of why this happens is a little bit of confusion with regard to the definition of prayer. Prayer has been defined as a solemn request for help or a solemn expression of thanks addressed to God. But on the other hand, prayer has been defined as an earnest hope or wish. These definitions seem to miss the mark on either extreme, but I think when there is confusion about what prayer is, it's not too difficult to end up in the space where we're unsatisfied with our life of prayer. I want us, as we begin this series together, to establish a working definition of prayer itself. We could start by saying that prayer is simply talking to God. But I want us to modify that and say instead that prayer is communicating with God. Communicating with God. The root of communicate is commune, and prayer really is the doorway to our communion with the living God. Prayer is the primary relational connection that each of us has with God. Without prayer, we know of God, but with prayer, we know God. We exist with God. We commune with God. With prayer, we know God in the here and now. We have a relationship and a relatedness to God. You could even say that the measure of our prayer life is the direct measure of our intimacy or closeness with God. Like I said, our text across these next 8 weeks is going to be Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, and I'd like to read through that now. I'll begin reading in verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one who inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, as we begin this series on prayer, we ask for your insight and assistance. We ask that you would invite us into this beautiful gift that you have provided that allows us not just to know you, but to commune with you day to day. As we gaze into this text in particular, Luke chapter 11, and the gift of the Lord's Prayer that has been given to us, help us today to have eyes to see just what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, certainly prayer was a central feature of Jesus' life. On numerous occasions, recorded in numerous locations, we find Jesus at prayer in the gospel accounts. Even looking only at the Gospel of Luke up until this point, we find Jesus praying at his baptism in chapter 3, verse 21. When his ministry began to gather a following in chapter 5, verse 6. Before choosing the 12 disciples in chapter 6, verse 12. Before the disciples formally confessed their faith to him in chapter 9, verse 18. And then at his transfiguration in chapter 9, verse 29. Jesus lived a life in communion with God the Father through prayer. Through the ups, through the downs, through the in-between of Jesus' life, prayer was a central feature of his life. And the disciples wanted what Jesus had. They'd been with him for months or maybe even years at this point, and they saw Jesus' discipline of prayer. But I don't think it was the discipline that attracted them. Most of his disciples had already experienced religious disciplines. They were Jewish men. They'd grown up in Jewish homes. They had the chance to learn a life of prayer, to learn about the scriptures, to learn about the history of their faith. It wasn't so much that they never encountered prayer or that they were attracted to the discipline itself. It was the relationship that Jesus shared with the Heavenly Father that they took notice of, and the power and wisdom that came from that relationship. Jesus' life of prayer determined who he was. It determined how he lived. And it's clear that his disciples wanted the same. So Luke tells us one of his disciples, we're not told which, but one of his disciples made the request, "Lord, teach us to pray. In essence, we want what you have, Jesus." It's interesting that this is what they asked for. They didn't ask Jesus to teach them how to share amazing parables like Jesus did. They didn't ask Jesus for insight into their own finances. They didn't ask Jesus how to have flourishing relationships in this life. Of all the things they could ask Jesus about, especially after having witnessed his miraculous signs up to this point, they chose to ask Jesus to teach them to pray. Now, this wasn't an outlandish request. It was customary for rabbis to teach their students a simple prayer that was meant for regular use, daily use even. That was often the signature of a rabbi, what they would gift to their followers. And it's likely that some of these men who were now followers of Jesus had learned a similar prayer from John the Baptist when they followed him before his death. But there was just something different with Jesus. They could see that prayer was a central feature of his life, and they wanted what Jesus had. And thankfully, for them and for us, as we return to this text today, Jesus was willing to teach them. Jesus' simple response was to offer a prayer. It's a prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. Notice that Jesus didn't entitle it anything. Jesus simply answered them by gifting them and all Christians to follow them with this beautiful prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer because it was given by Jesus. And this prayer is a beautiful prayer. It's a profound prayer. Yet somehow, at the same time, it is simple, it is accessible, and it is usable. Some believe that these are holy words given by Jesus, and they are to be preserved exactly as we see them in our scriptures, and they are to be used by reciting them from memory on a daily basis. Some believe that that's the only function of the Lord's Prayer. That's the proper way for us to use this gift that came from Jesus, and yet others have suggested that these words are simply an outline, that they're a pattern, a handrail that guides our prayer life. So we would take each one of the phrases and let it launch us into, in application, a deeper exploration of what it indicates. I believe that Jesus' prayer can be both. And I think it should be both. But above all, I think that this prayer that has been gifted to us should be studied, because it truly is a doorway into this communion with God that each of us have been created for. And so I'm going to ask you, as we begin this series in prayer, to engage from the very beginning with your own prayer life. We have the questions in the bulletin like we do every single Sunday, and they are a guide for you whether you are in one of our small groups or not. They're wonderful to use in conjunction with the small group, but they're also wonderful to take you a little bit further than what we're able to do together here on a Sunday. And there are questions in this week's bulletin that explore the origins of your own prayer life, thinking all the way back to the times when you first learned to pray, whether it was the Lord's Prayer or something more simple that you prayed around the table, something someone taught you in perhaps a preschool or someplace else, to go all the way back to the beginning so that we can enrich ourselves as deeply as possible in this invitation that comes to each of us in prayer. And so think for a moment. When did you learn to pray? Who was it that taught you to pray? And then what is prayer's role in your life today? These are the questions that we're going to begin with in this 8-week quest. But as we begin, I also want you to hear me when I say that no guilt is allowed during this series. One of the things that happens with prayer is we start talking about it and we start seeing the opportunity, or maybe we encounter someone who is just a super prayer and we start thinking, I don't pray enough, I don't pray long enough, I'm not praying for the right things, I'm pretty sure God's not listening because I'm doing it wrong. None of that is allowed across the next 8 weeks. In fact, just don't ever bring it in, okay? There's no room for guilt in this. What we're responding to is a gracious invitation that's come from God, and all of the time that we waste worrying when we're doing it wrong or feeling guilty about not doing it enough is wasted time when we could be receiving that invitation and delving even deeper into our connection with God. And so, no guilt allowed. Now, yes, prayer is a privilege and prayer is a responsibility, but more than anything, prayer is an invitation to draw near to God. The disciples could see the power of Jesus' prayer life. We can too, through the lens of the Gospels. The disciples knew they wanted what Jesus had, and I hope that you feel a sense of that same longing. If we spent that time around Jesus as they did, we would long for that same sort of communion and connection. And so the question as we begin is, do we feel that same desire? Do we desire that same relational closeness with God? I hope we do, because it is as available to us today as it was when this question was first posed to Jesus. So my challenge for all of us as we begin this series together is, will you say to God in these next 8 weeks, teach me to pray? If you do, God will usher you into his presence in just that way. Would you please pray with me now? Lord Jesus, it is miraculous that no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, no matter what time of the day or night, you are available to us. It's miraculous that this faith you've called us to isn't just about having the right information, the right ideas or understanding about who you are or what you did 2,000 years ago, but that this idea of faith is a relationship, it's a communion, that you have invited us to live life with you, to live life in your presence. And just as our ongoing communication with our loved ones in this world is what draws us nearer and nearer to them, our prayer life with you, our accepting of the invitation that you offer to us in each new day, is what draws us so much closer to you. And so hear us now, even as the disciples asked you all that time ago, teach us to pray. Hear us in our hearts this morning saying the same. Sense our openness, God. Meet us in the midst of it. And across these next 8 weeks, help us to treasure the gift of prayer and to take advantage of that invitation you provide. We give you thanks for this gift. And it's in your name that we pray, Jesus. Amen.